She's our last day. Next time, we're going to celebrate. How many of you here felt that you have been washed over and over with the word? And sometimes we feel like we've never read the scripture so much in just in these how many weeks, right? The Lord has been giving us so many words and washing. I was just sharing with Terry, you know, that this has been a journey for me as well. And ever since the Lord has asked me to minister the word, he asked me, I don't want you giving recycled leftovers. And so every time there is a conference, you know, that's why, you know, prayer is really not only the safest place, but also the most enjoyable place. Not that, you know, breaking the word is not, but there's a lot of intensity that goes on, you know, when we're sharing the word. And from the time I started this until now, there's been an intensity that the Lord has brought to me. And I believe that the Lord is tuning me up, you know, and morning and evening, and as I speak, you know, spend time with him, I just felt like the Lord is shifting to the very core of my being, an alignment, not only in falling in love with the word, but hearing the sound of the voice of his word. And it has been an intense struggle, you know, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm. But I think all of you understand that. When you guys are going to make a decision to walk with the Lord, to tune up with the Lord, that the enemy will focus the attack. I mean, you know that already. And that's why we don't get discouraged. You know, we continue because there is a plan that the Lord has for us. And I believe when he started this, there's a lot of things that we're going to dive into today, but the Lord has put in my heart. If you don't finish, you finish it in the evening, because there's something that I want to share with the women. It is recorded, and you know, those of you who'd like to dive more, you listen to that. But the Lord has promised that there's going to be a healing in the women issues, you know, and that may that be depression, physical, may that hormonal imbalance, whatever that may be, because I am giving the Lord the responsibility because it is his promise. Long after this, when I started the ministry, the Lord told me, you are not the superstar, the word is the superstar. And the word of the living God is going to perform what it promised to do. And some of you are just hearing away from the breakthrough that you have been praying for your children, to your grandchildren. If it's not going to happen in this lifetime, when? I mean, when are we going to see the miracle that God has promised in his word? We don't need it when we go to heaven. We need it here. And so I am demanding in the name of Jesus that in your lifetime, in the land of the living, we're going to see it here. Or if we're not going to see it, then you're going to find yourself in another conference, in another Bible study, the same like you were before. So I am believing that each one of us are moving from one glory to another and transform and change. Or you and I have been just having a fellowship. We have been confronted with the word. Every week we come together. The most powerful, potent force of the universe, the word of the living God. And every time we sit down and listen to our pastor, listen to somebody speak, and we have not been transformed, then we have just wasted that time. We need to grow from glory to glory, and we need to expect the miracle that we have been believing for, because we have allowed the word, because he sent his word to heal them, he sent his word to save them, and he sent his word to deliver them. We are going to be falling in line and prayer after prayer after prayer if we do not see the potency of the word of the living God. You know, I'm teaching businessmen and women, and I always say, your growth of your business should be from one event to one event. The growth of your Christian walk should be from one Sunday, one Bible study to another. Because the intensity of the time is here for us, for all of us. Anyway, we're going to continue to read the title of this The series for this week is We have been called as royal priesthood. And you know what, it's amazing because I don't know how it's very, you know, like I want it to be like, Lord, can you just arrange it, you know, like that, and it doesn't work the way I want to arrange it, because the Lord always changes it. And so, you know, it's a real time, you know, real time when the Lord is ministering to us. So in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That is something that you and I as women of Valley Community Church need to receive, need to expect, needs to be embedded into us, that we are royalty. We act like it, we think like it, and we minister like it. And I believe that that is going to be the position that we're going to take every time we pray. So when we walk into that place, we demand that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, because the name that above the name is the name that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or else we're just playing games. We're just really praying just to pray. You understand? So when we pray, we become very dangerous. The heavens and the earth know that we mean business. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's a very beautiful story. And I'm going to lead you to this now, as the Lord has been putting in my heart. This is an expectation that you and I have to come and see ourselves being transformed. And this is not just a cliche. This is mandatory for us as men and women, you know, men and women is going to be listening to this in the Lord. It says, during the time when the people of Israel were crying because, you know, there was bitter water in at Marah, when the Lord set before them the following decrees. This is important. That in Exodus 15:26, it says, the standard to test their faithfulness to him was set into motion. And what was that standard? The standard of listening. If you will listening, that is in the original word, carefully to the voice of the Lord your God. That's mandatory. It is not just a joke. It is not something like, oh, you hear the Lord. Listen, you have to. You don't have a choice. That is how God communicates with us, and that's how God breathes his life into us. If we are not hearing his voice, we're not listening to his word, then we are really in danger. Because the enemy wants to kill, to steal, and destroy you and your generation and the generation after. Because God says, this is a standard that I'm going to test the people of Israel, Moses. That if you will listening carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Our demand that he is our physician must be met because we hear his voice. You know, as a nurse, we are trained to the right medicine, the right patient, the right route, the right dosage. Well, the word of the living God, the right route, is your hearing ears, your spiritual ears. If you and I want to be healed, then we need to make sure that the route to receive that medication is open wide, and it is through hearing ears. You know, I was going through some alignment in my back. And this just happened, you know, just these last few weeks. And I was sleeping and I was praying, you know, after I spent time with the Lord. And the Lord told me, I'm going to align you. You teach my people how to align with my word. And my job is to align you. And I think that, you know, if there's nothing else that we've learned in all this week as women, that we need to really open our hearing ears. In the book of Exodus 19:4-6, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I wore you in eagle's wings. I love this scripture. I mean, every time I read it, I feel like the embrace of the lover of my soul is again asking a divine romance with me. I brought you to myself, the jealous God. Doesn't want anything else to come in between you and him. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, there you go again, obey my voice, and you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which they commanded you today, that the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Deuteronomy 4, 12, and the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. Moses reminded the people of Israel, you heard a sound of words, and you saw no form. You only heard a voice. You know that is so important because Moses is establishing in the nation of Israel, I don't want you to feel it. I don't want you to think it. I don't want you to be moved by how we feel. I want you to be moved by what you hear. This is really important in our Christian walk because the enemy can discourage you that, you know, your children are not walking right. Your nieces and nephews are not walking right. You know, the economy is falling apart. But God says, I don't want you to be moved by what you see. I don't want you to be moved by what you feel. I want you to be moved by what my Holy Spirit is speaking to you through my word. That is really where we are. That is how we establish a walk with the Lord. Because if we're not going to establish that, we are all going to be a generation that we're going to lose and the next generation after. Because in the book of John, it says, it says that, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know what is the truth? That is his word. We're not going to bow because we have a wonderful, beautiful, you know, signs and wonders in Egypt. Egypt did not bow their knees. There was no revival that happened in the land of Egypt with the signs and wonders that God brought, the 10 plagues. We're not moved because there's a miraculous move that's coming. It's part of the package deal. I mean, you know, as Christians today, you cannot use, you know, God's people's healing, you know, deliverance as a prop of how good you are in your anointing. I mean, I don't think that God would appreciate that when you and I use his children as an advertising, you know, to the world that you have an awesome ministry and use other people as a prop. Even in our story, we cannot use other people as a prop to make our story look good. It is just really because the word of the living God has spoken. And it is really how we are going to see a breakthrough. And in this process that we're learning today, I believe that we're going to understand that it's time for us to stop depending on the lower courts of the world. We will always lose the case. We just did one. But it's really okay. Because we will always win when we go to the higher courts of the universe. I was joking. I said, you know what? I win better, you know, with my financial, you know, negotiation in the heavens than with my husband. I said, oh, never mind, darling. I'm going to go and report you to the Lord. I win all the time. You know, so, you know, if I want a raise, I just tithe from my allowance so I have more allowance the next time. I win all the time. I trust you. Do this. You know, instead of you wasting your time arguing, you know, go to the courts. You always win. Hallelujah. That's why you're called royal priesthood. The language of the Spirit is the sound of his voice. The Lord spoke that to me. I said, can you explain that a little bit? He says, Mila, the language of my spirit is the sound of my voice. It is the language of creation. It is the language that creation responds to. You know what it is? It is his word. When God spoke, the vibration happens in the earth. And gravity is still humming today. That the scientists are so impressed. Because when God spoke, it never ends. It is finished, 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 finished. God say, light be, light be, light be. It's still going on today. And gravity is still going on today. That's why you and I are not collapsing. Because the word of God never ends. And I am telling you, I'm beginning to see this more and more and more and more from generation to generation. God, you promised me salvation will come to my household. I am making you responsible for that. It's not my word, it's yours. And it says here in Jeremiah 7, 22 to 24, God reminded the people of Israel again, for I did not speak to your fathers or commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. concerning burnt offerings and sacrifice. I didn't want you to become religious. I don't want you to be showing off to the world that you are such a good Christian. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. The condition for God to be our God is so you will incline your ears. So I ask you today, my sisters, that when we hear the word, are we standing in attention, regardless of who's speaking? You know, I do a lot of lectures, and people really take notes. Of course, they have to. They pay a lot of money. But do we really sit down in our church and write down the notes our pastor said? I always ask this to my children growing up. I say, well, what did the pastor say? So I tell them, I need you to write. Because you keep 30% of what you write in here, and you keep 10% of what you hear. And if the word of God is really, really so important, so why don't we take notes? And why don't we take notes and make it part of our journal? I mean, I'm just saying this to you. I just want to share. And I feel that in my heart that there needs to be a place in our lives that the word is really important, very important. That, you know what, sometimes, you know, when I speak in the Philippines, you know, you speak like four times in one Sunday, and it's really. And sometimes because of the program, you resist. Sister Mila, can we just have 20 minutes? I said, I'll tell you what. Why do we not talk about the word, and why don't we continue with the program? Because the word of the living God has to have a very importance. Most of the time, it is the one that is going to be cut off. It's the one that's going to be compromised. It's the one that is going to be the least important. Then maybe we should not have the word in your service. It is so important that you and I fall in love with the word all the time. In your life, when you wake up in the morning, what is the Lord speaking to you? What is the voice of the word of the living God speaking to you today, this morning, as you face the trials of the day? You will hear my voice. And then it says, and you need to walk in all of the ways that I have commanded you, that so it might be well with you, he said. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but follow the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts. And they went backward instead of forward. The direction of our walk has a lot to do with how well we hear. I am telling you, I challenge you, my sisters, today. The first thing in the morning, what is the thing that is brought before our minds and our hearts? In the book of John 10, 1 to 5, very truly I say to you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in any other way, is the thief and a robber. And the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep will hear his voice. He calls them by their name, and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know what it is? One of the things that you and I are royal priesthood is this, that we really follow him. There is sort of like, you know, the shepherd does not do anything. The shepherd just, you know, raises his voice, and the sheep follow him because they recognize that voice. And I really believe that is where our direction is. But they never follow a stranger's voice. In fact, they run away from him because they don't recognize that stranger's voice. There are also people, you see, you know how the Lord looks at denomination here in John 10, 16? There are other sheep I will which where it's not in this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. You know what it is? It's not Pentecostal, it's not Protestant or Catholic. The distinction he's going to make is these people who hears my voice, they are mine. Yeah. It's not what kind of denomination you have. It's my people who are marked by hearing my voice. Those are mine. And this is why it is so important for us to practice in our time alone with him, in our prayer. And you know what? In prayer is not just limited to bowing your knees and spending time and closing the door. Yes, that's important too. But prayer is our lifestyle. We wash dishes, he speaks to us. We clean the house, he speaks to us. And everything when you're sitting in the boardroom, he speaks to us. That's what prayer is. It's a communication that God wants to bring you and I into the direct bullseye, you know, tuning up, that we are talking to constantly to him. Deep in your innermost being, while I am talking to you, somebody is talking to me. Why not? You invited him to come into your innermost being, and there in that throne, the spirit of your heart speaks to you. There is a conversation that's happening while you're conversing. That's why when I speak, the Lord says, okay, that's enough. I said, but I'm not done yet. You know what I mean? But because there's something in you, okay, it's done. Because there's something that it tells you, don't worry, I got it. It's in the bag. You know, you might see right now falling apart, but I got it. There is a peace that passes understanding, because my sheep hears my voice and I know them and they follow me. And you know what the scripture that says that Lord is my shepherd is no longer a funeral verse for you. It is now a lifestyle. That shepherd really is every day when you wake up and every day when you walk, every day when you make a decision and every day when you make a boo-boo and every day when you are afraid. There's a shepherd, and you know his voice. So this is where we understand about what is the word of the living God. You know, we talk about the rhema, the logos, you know, in the Greek, the word of God means, you know, rhema and means logos. What is that? The logos is the written word of the living God. It is an established fact. It's something that you cannot change, I cannot change. It is the counsel. It is the purpose of God. In other words, you and I are royal priesthood. We are established, so established that we cannot be moved. Even if they're going to try to force us to put a mark on our head, we're going to say, it's too late, too late. I have been marked with the word of the living God. My hands and my mind does and think the way the word of God thinks. Now, it's too late for you to change my mind and change the way I do business because I have been marked with the word of the living God. And that is the saturation of the word of God in your life, in you, in your prayer life. I really do believe this in my heart. The intensity of your falling in love with the word is the intensity of your prayer life. Because you know what? You never run out of words, right? I mean, it's just a river that, you know, just keeps flowing. It's a gushing forth of that river. That doesn't matter, you know, when the Lord brings up somebody into your mind, you know, the Lord gives you a word. You know, my little girl is celebrating her birthday today. Name after me, Mila with a Y. I don't know why they put a Y. It's supposed to be an I, but anyway. So, you know, we called her this morning and we prayed. And the Lord just gave me a word. You know, she has such an anointed. She loves to dance. She loves to art. And the Lord gave me a word that, you know, she has an anointed feet and anointed hands. And, you know, I was just praying for her. This, you see, when the Lord gives you a scripture, you know, a lot of us would like to know about prophetic word. Just dive into the word. When you pray for somebody, the word of God comes like that. I said, wow, where did this came from? That's awesome, right? Because that is what royal priesthood is. Because we are experts on the word, right? Because when we pray for people, we're no longer praying emotion. We're praying the sound of his word. And then when the heavens and earth will hear, it says it's established. Because, you know, the Lord always, now I'm going sidetracked, Lord, hallelujah. But, you know, the word, the Lord really, let me tell you something. Creation participates with everything that he does. Because God never makes anything that's dead, right? So the earth speaks, the wind speaks, the clouds speaks, everything has life. That's why he said, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today. You understand me? Because they will participate. So when I speak today, the future of your future, the south and the north, the east and the west, do you hear me? Align with the word of the living God. Do you hear me in my neighborhood? Do you hear about when I speak about my next generation? God has used you in the courts of heaven to be a witness today that I declare. You understand this? I mean, there is power in our prayer. You know, that's why it's so beautiful to pray, because, whew, hallelujah. I mean, don't get me started, the enemy. You're going to harass me? I'm going to, hallelujah. So when you walk down from your prayer room to your chair, you know, stairs in the living room, you declare. It's so beautiful to be in prayer, isn't it? Because prayer is not agonizing prayer. It is participating. And can you imagine that the trees of the field will clap their hands, and the mountains and the hills will dance, because somebody is speaking the word of the living God, and the sound of his word, creation aligns. This is, anyway, you can stop now and just pray. This is beautiful, isn't it? Anyway, I knew I was going to be sidetracked. hallelujah. So, the word of the living God is forever. The Lord of the Lord is settled. Trust me, there's no insecurity about it at all. It is really settled. I mean, really settled. Okay? The word of the Lord is settled in heaven, Psalm 119. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. And the same was in the beginning with God. In other words, every time we speak the prophetic. Who is the prophecy? Jesus Christ. Every time I speak the word, I am prophesying according to the book of Revelation. But we are releasing the prophecy that is in the word, Jesus Christ, who is the word. Every time we speak the word, we are allowing the triune God to participate with what you're doing. And I am telling you, I mean, you know, I am serious about prayer, even in my parking lot. Lord, thank you for my parking space. Please, thank you. And the Lord gives me a parking space. You know, I used to drive, you know, in our neighborhood. I didn't know about the neighborhood. I just knew that there was a house that's for sale, and my husband was in residency training, so I signed the paper. And, you know, it has so complicated house, a lot of holes all over the place, holes on the wall, on the floor. I mean, but I already signed a paper. It was really too late, you see. So, but anyway, you have this. They said, oh, you bought this house. It is in a gang-infested place. That's what they said. Said, really? I didn't know that, but you saw, so we have a lot of gangs that we ministered to. Because, you know, I didn't know that that's what we were supposed to do. But you know what? It's amazing, because when we started in that place, I'm telling you, there's some drugs over there, you know, drugs like this. And I have a small kids, you know, and I was just driving, learning how to drive. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know who you called me in the ministry? I said, when I was in school, I have somebody drive me, so I don't know who's driving me to school. And the Lord says, you drive yourself. Anyway, so I used to negotiate with him. I said, remember? I said, I used to have this and I used to have that, you know, like negotiation, you know. So anyway, I used to drive and I say, Lord, and my children, I said, in the name of Jesus, I claim this place for you. You know, it was a pornographic place. And I thank you, Lord, that this place is going to be claimed by your name. It's funny. I told the about a month ago or something, my son said, Mom, you better stop praying. The neighborhood is being changed now. Because, you know, this turned out to be a store now. You know, they sold it and it became. So, you know, we started changing the neighborhood. And anyway, I was just sharing that to you. I get sidetracked. Hallelujah. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Do not kid yourself in this one. I really believe that, you know, when our pastor speaks, this is what I always train my children. If you go to church and you haven't learned anything from the word, and you and I wait, that somebody stole that time from us. I mean, you know, here we are, we're very busy people, you know, we have just, you know, this one, you know, this is our schedule. Well, I want to be sure that every hour that we have a schedule, you know, that the devil is going to pay. You understand? He's harassing us. And then here we are looking for, my roast is going to burn, or I'm hungry. When is pastor going to be done? Or, you know what I mean? We need to change that, because that is not respecting the word. We need to really take note that there is a powerful anointing that when the word is being released in the pulpit, when the time it goes to you, the Lord is going to go, prepare it in your spirit and in your mind. And then once it goes to the spirit of truth, what not only the truth was given to you, there's an explosion, you go, And when you go home, I said, wow. I mean, you know, it goes into different facets of sermon or messages or you know, right? I mean, that should be our attitude when you go to church, hallelujah. And so when somebody else tells you, what did the pastor say? I don't know, but it was good. I mean, yeah. That's the changes of royalty. When you and I are going to be a royal priesthood, then we need to change our respect for the word. Because there is a word that is settled, but there's also a spoken word. This is what Jesus told the enemy. He says, it is written, each man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's rhema. That is a sound. Ooh, and you know it is him. That's a sound that comes and brings a vibration, you see. That's a rhema. That seed is the word. The book of Luke says the seed is the word. We were always looking for a 30, 60, 100-fold return. But we need to respect the word because it's the word that's a seed. When I am planting a seed, I'm not planting just that money or finances. I am planting the word of the seed of the word because I'm in obedience to that word. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I am really tired of this 0.00001% from the bank. I mean, I am a royal priesthood, and I belong to the kingdom of heaven, and I am not going to succumb to the 1% interest rate at the most 12% of the financial world. I want to tap into the 30, 60, 100-fold return. So today, we're going to change our mindset. We're not going to anymore follow the dictates of the world. We are kingdom people. We need to believe the 30, 60, 100-fold return. When do you want to get it? In heaven, you don't need that. You need it here. Amen? Amen. Anyway. So. And then it says here in Mark 4, this is very important scripture. But these are the ones that sown in good ground, your ground. Those who hear the word accepts it. You know your ground that's been tilled? A ground that has been cultivated, not through Hallmark movies, not through the news, no. It is a cultivation of allowing your pastor to water the word in your ground, for your friends, you know, to your women praying over you the word. That is a ground that's been tilled, you see. And then it says here, but these are the ground, good grounds. And then you will hear the word, you will accept it. It will bear fruit. There it is, 30, 60, 100-fold return. So if anyone, there we go, has ears to hear, let them hear. You know why I'm saying this all the time? Because you cannot be a successful, powerful prayer warrior unless your ears, your spiritual ears, is being prepared. It has to be. Because that is our communication to the throne. Then he said to them, take heed in what you hear, because with the same measure you use, what is that measure? Hearing. It will be measured to you, and to you who hear, there it is, more will be given. For whatever, whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. That's not fair. But God's not fair. I'm gonna pop your balloon right now. God's not fair. He's just. He's holy. He's merciful. He's righteous. But he's not fair. He doesn't run this world by being fair. The world insists on being fair. But his word is established and settled. This is so important. We really have to understand. It's the hearing ear. It's who will hear will have the most. Even to those, hello, who has little will be removed from him and given to the one who already has some. That's not fair. Eat your heart out. It's never fair. Because God says, I want you to follow the principles of the word. It is you hearing the word. You have to. As a prayer warrior, you need to hear the word. Because if you are not careful, you're going to hear yourself after prayer. Oh, I'm still sick. After we prayed and what powerful warfare. After we prayed and commanded the south and the north and the east and the west and the creation and the world to align as a witness. After we pray, oh, I'm still sick. I'm still worried. Well, what happened? You see what happened? That's why we need to understand the principles of God's word. So, in the review, God says sacrifice and offering is your expertise. Every time you and I have a relationship, as we have learned in the last how many weeks, is that there's always a priest and a covenant. A relationship of husband and wife, there is an altar, there is a priest, and there is a covenant. It never changes in your relationship with God all the time. He always asks you, I want you to hear my voice. You know, when I'm signing contracts, million-dollar contracts, I'm telling you something, and the Lord speaks to me, that's not for you. And in my heart, I say, Lord, are you sure? This is $1 million. One time I was a little, Lord, this is $1 million, remember? And he said, Mila, that is not for you. And so I was talking to my husband. I said, you know, darling, I don't think so. I'm going to sign that. And my son was up at the back of the car. He was just young at the time. And I said, well, I don't think so. I should sign it because I feel like that my witness is going to be compromised. And my son says, Mom, that's $1 million, Mom. Look where he was listening. And so, you know, but there's a voice that the Lord will tell you. It's not for you. And if I would have signed that, I would have found myself in a complicated litigation later on, you know, in a very huge hospital that I was supposed to be involved in. But, you know, those are things that the Lord speaks to us, the sound of his voice. So, in other words, it has nothing to do about the amount. It has nothing to do about the opportunity. It has something to know about the intensity of the sound of his voice. You know, I'm saying this to you because we'll say, like, well, you know, we hear, you have to, you really, we don't have any other choice. We really have to hear. Because if it's not possible, then why did he say that? Why would God require of you and me to hear him if it's not possible? Right? It is possible. It is mandatory. It's an expectation. It is part of who you are as a nature of a royal priesthood. So there is always that sacrifice, there's always that offering. Because every time we pray, the sin issue has to be addressed. A lot of us, when we go to pray, we need to understand that repentance is always the boulevard back to your Father, all the time. Lord, I am so, Lord, can I just lose weight, Lord, please? And God says, Mila, you first have to repent because you've been eating everything that I told you not to eat. You understand me? Lord, I just blew my allowance or my budget. And Mila, you're supposed to repent. You did not follow your budget, you see? Now after you repent, God says, now we're talking. You understand me? You and I cannot put an insult to a holy God and expect us, bless me anyway, please. Yes. In our prayer life, that's why, you know, how come I'm not having a breakthrough? Maybe we just need to repent. When that repentance happens, go, pshhh. You understand? God says, I thought you'd never ask, my little girl. Do you know that's all we need? Well, Lord, I am right. He is wrong. And I am telling you, he has to say sorry to me first. Well, God says, okay, when you're ready, talk to me. You understand me? But in prayer, repentance is always mandatory. Because the sin issue has to be addressed all the time. I know I'm talking very intense right now because I believe the Lord is preparing you for a breakthrough. Some of you here, when you go home, you're going to see a breakthrough. You're going to find out, Lord, sorry, I was wrong. You're right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You understand? And for months and months, you've been trying to prove to God that you were right all along and they were wrong. And then when the repentance happens, God answers you beyond and above your expectation. It has to be. We have to remember that he's not an author of sin. I give you some scriptures there. We're not going to, you know why I give you a lot of scriptures? Because I'm afraid that you're not going to read it when you go home. You know sometimes how we go to a seminar? You know, we put our manual in the closet, never to look at it again. I said, it's there, okay? So when you're praying, just go back to this. This is really a lot of promises from the Lord to you. Because we need to go to court and we need to know our assignment. Like any lawyer in the world will never win a case until they prepared it. But why don't you and I believe that when we go to court, we better win? And God expects us to do our assignment. The Lord, you said in your word, this is a promise you've given me. You understand? So this is something that we need to go on and understand. The power of sin is so powerful. We keep blaming the devil, but the Bible blames sin. There is a stronghold that you and I have been contaminated that we have been so comfortable with. It's a tradition that is not really birthed according to the word, but we still keep it anyway because it really sounds good, right? You know, just like our upbringing with our children. You know, we grew up, you know, a very big family, and, you know, we were so, my sisters and I says, are you kidding me? I says, I just get scared to be killed, you know, because we follow the rules, right? I mean, you know, because dad isn't going to give me an allowance if I do not follow the rules, right? But, you know, the reason why we really are walking straight, because I am telling you, our family tradition, you get killed, you know, because of my grandmother's background. As you know, honor killing is very practiced in our community. And so, but the Lord told me that it's not birth according to my word. You do not train your children because of your tradition. You train your children because of the word. You understand me? Even that one has to be changed. So those are things that God wants us to know when we go. So we need to be men and women in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. You know what that is? Freedom of speech. One of the signs that you and I are enjoying the deliverance of the Holy Spirit is because we want to pray all the time. Because our constitution in the kingdom of God is freedom of speech. You understand me? Every Christian who is not praying today is because the enemy is attacking your constitution. If you and I no longer pray, if we are not praying as you should pray, it's because the boldness, the freedom of speech has been stolen from us. That's why America today is not just suffering. The real suffering is because in the closets of God's people, Satan has silenced us. That's why we need to get back. Once we get that back, we're going to start seeing our country again in freedom of speech. So, I labeled it the audacity of shameless persistence. You know the story about in the book of Luke about a woman who keeps knocking at the door of a judge. You see, there are so many different kinds of prayers. A prayer to a father that, you know what, you don't really have to beg. You just say, Lord, I need this. And you didn't have to beg. He gives it to you, isn't it? I mean, right? I mean, there is that relationship between father and child. And when we go to him, he doesn't want us to beg him. He doesn't want us to rub his tummy, you know, like other religion. He doesn't have to, you know, sing and dance, you know, like the prophets of Baal. He just wants us to ask. That's a beautiful prayer time. But there's also a prayer that we go on behalf of a friend, because we have a friend that is hungry for bread. There is also a prayer that each one of us need to know how to go to court and face the judge. That is the intensity of prayer intercession. You know what it is? Because it's high stake negotiation. It's about souls of men. If you haven't yet touched that, then we need to. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is the kind of faith that he is hoping that will I see this kind of faith when I come back to earth. You know why he needs us there? Because there is an accuser of the brethren who goes there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The one who knows how to bring legal procedure against you and me. That's Lucifer. And he wants you and me to show up in court. This is the kind of faith that Jesus is asking us. Yes, you can pray to your Father. He will give it to you. Those are just things. I feel in my heart here that we are going to break through this prayer, that we don't have to beg him for things that we need. We don't have to beg him with things. Those are just really things. Once we come to the place that those are just things, we're going to find ourselves prayer life shorter, because God wants us to travail in the courtroom of heaven for souls. There are high-stake negotiations happening right now that God is waiting for us to participate in the courtroom of heaven. It doesn't matter who is the judge. We're going to go on and be a witness for him. This is a prayer I believe that this our women are being ushered into more and more, because we are going to understand that things God is going to give it to you. I believe that. Even your health. Now, if your health today has nothing to do about connection with a curse, and that's another, it's just because it is his blessings for your life, this is part of your inheritance. Lord, it's part of my inheritance to have the length of my days to serve you in strength so I can deliver purpose for your glory. But there is also an intercession because there is something that has infiltrated our family tree. Because somebody in our generation has made a promise for the next generation against, you know, the truth of the word of the living God. That we need to intercede and we can break it. We can break the curses of the past. We have been given that authority that it's not going to visit the next generation, but we need to bring it to court. You understand? This is important. So Jesus was telling about this story that went to the judge who doesn't care about what people think. He doesn't even believe in God. But he says, you know what? This woman is bothering me all the time. I better just answer her because she's going to kill me. And look at this. And then Jesus said, this is what I'm telling you so you will not be discouraged, but keep on praying. And then he said in the last verse of Luke chapter 18, he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he see an audacity of shameless persistence? We are not saying, we're not getting no for an answer. No way, no way. We're not. You understand? We are asking for this neighborhood. We're asking for this nation. We are asking for my family. And we are not going to get no for an answer. We're not accepting no for an answer. Because Jesus said, you shall be a witness unto me, and a witness shall show up in court. That's why it's so important, because the witness will change the verdict all the time. You have to remember, God is a just God. He is, right? So he has to operate in justice and righteousness. So there has to be some procedures in the courtroom. You know, while the enemy is there, you know, accusing us, then he say, where's my witness? Who is going to stand in my behalf for this neighborhood? You understand? And we are wondering what happened because it's been, I'm wondering, nobody's showing up. The court system of the world, you need to show up or you lose the case all the time. There's a lot of cases that has been lost, a lot of children's lives that has been complicated because the parents don't show up. And they're finding their children in jail and complicated because there's no showing up. The same thing God is saying, my witness has to show up. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end part of the world. You know what the Lord is saying about that, the power of a witness? Is that I want you to test drive your witness. You know, I have a lot of staff, a lot of people who want to travel with us to the nations of the world. I always ask them, okay, have you test driven your anointing at home? I told the Lord, you take me to Africa, you give me a story. If I'm going to go to Africa, then you need to give me a story. Because I cannot tell Africa that you will save my home and my Jerusalem and my Judea, and I come to Africa and tell them that you will save them. It is important. Your testimony has to be tested at home. The world has to know that as hard as your family is, that he is able to break through in your home. And so that is important. You see, I want you to test drive it in your Jerusalem. And then I heard a loud voice. Why is it important? In the book of Revelation, it says that the king, the salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come, because the accuser of the brethren who accused him before the God day and night has been cast down. Finally, but not yet. You see? You have to remember this. In the book of Revelation 22:3 says, and there is no more curse. You see, a lot of us say, well, Jesus has freed us from the curse of the law. Yes, but there is still an accuser of the brethren that's standing in the courtroom of the right now accusing you and me. Yes, we have been freed from the curse of the law. Well, all of us have been saved, but not everybody's saved, right? We have been freed from the curse of the law. But by the courtroom of the king, we need to come and bring before our cases before the king. And we are going to say that this is what the word of God says, that yes, that a curse without a cause will not fly. In other words, there is a cause. Why is Satan still accusing us? Somebody who's a witness will go there and come before the throne and says, Father, in Jesus' name. Ah, hallelujah. Can you imagine going to court and you have your mediator, Jesus Christ, you have a witness, the blood of Jesus that speaks on your behalf. The Holy Spirit reminds you of the article and the municipal code that you need to code. Hallelujah. You are already a winner. And the judge is your father. I mean, how can we lose a case? I mean, this is so, right? How can we lose a case? All we have to do is that we are in opposition. We are overruling the enemy. Because every tongue that has been raised against us, we refute it. It is not going to be set into motion because we are silencing the accuser. And we are asking the court to petition the court to bring a restraining order against the evil one, that he doesn't have a right to visit my generation and the generation after. I mean, this is important. Hallelujah. Guys, you know why he needs a witness unto me? Because it's going to tilt the verdict of the court. You understand? It is going to tilt the verdict of the court. So God is saying, will I find audacity in shameless persistence when I come? Will I find my court filled with witnesses? Who's going to silence the accuser of the brethren? My children is not going to inherit what happened in the past generation. We have made a stop that we are no longer going to follow the bloodbath religion of the past. We refuse to have any of our children follow a religion of bloodbath. Because all of us stood up. That's not going to happen. So when we go to the courtroom, we need to go in the order of the courtroom. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. When you go to witness, speak the truth, nothing but the truth. So, okay, we go to court. Hallelujah. We bring the word, Father God, hallelujah. The captives to the mighty shall be delivered, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody wants to put into your head, but Lord, you know, Lord, he's not going to be like his dad. So what happened? I thought you're going to speak the truth and only the truth. You see, you and I cannot be tampered witness. When we go to court, we are not going to be moved by what we see. We're not going to be moved by what we feel. We're going to be moved by what we hear. The truth, nothing but the truth. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offering to God. And don't make rash promises. This is where we get in trouble. Lord, if you answer me, Lord, I'm not going to eat bread for 1 week. I mean, you know, right? And I am going to give all of my money. And then what happened? You see what I mean? Rush about. Because we move by emotion. God doesn't want you to rub his tummy. God doesn't want you to give him a bribe. God wants you to speak the sound of his word. Okay? Look. Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. So let your words be few. You know what's going to happen? If you really know how to pray right, we can wash dishes. You know, I told the Lord, you know, I'm in intercession. You know, Lord, you know, I'm very busy. I always tell the Lord this. I have to wash dishes, I have to clean the house, and I have to, you know, like that. I said, can you please make it short? I mean, you know. Because, you know, we go into this deliverance. No. I don't want to speak to the devil. He's lying anyway, so I don't want to ask what's his name. You know, I don't know these people. They do deliverance. What's your name? I just, why are you asking him? He's lying anyway. You expect him to tell you the truth? I mean, right? I said, Lord, I just want him out, and it's just short so I can go home and wash dishes. That's it. So you know what? We need to understand the protocol of the court. So a gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. This is the principle of royal priesthood. You know what, kings? they don't really need to talk a lot. They just walk and they are reverence. You understand? I mean, you walk and the Lord always says, Mila, just look royal and they will bow. Right? I mean, so we do not have to talk a lot. When we pray, it's done. Shh. You understand? Because your prayer life cannot be a gossip session. You cannot shape other people's secret in prayer. That's why one of the rules when I hear prayer, every time they talk long, I say, God doesn't need you to explain your situation. He already knows your situation. I mean, why do you have to say how many people he has seen and, you know, the woman is involved in? Who really cares? I mean, though the secrets in the secret place, a gossip betrays confidence. He who may worship in the sanctuary, who may enter in his presence, those who lead a blameless life, do what is right, and speaks the truth from his heart, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Trust me, we have a lot of evil speaking in prayer. But did you know we have to pray for him? Because you know, I mean, really, that's a prayer that I don't want. In fact, right away, when we go to intercession in the Philippines, rule number one, I don't want gossip here. This is holy ground. Because you know why? God is ready to forgive and forget. But those people around you, they are not ready to forgive and to forget. They may forgive, but they do not forget. So the reputation goes like this. And then the story keeps going and never ends. And so our prayer becomes longer. That's why nobody wants to go pray. It's too long. They're praying too long. Because there's so many other stories being added into it that's not necessary. It's like the sound of his word. You understand? No witness tampering allowed. The words of a talebearer are like a tasty trifles. You know what it is? Gossip in the outside the prayer life and gossip in the prayer life contaminates you. It goes to the core. And it is a contaminant that is going to lose your anointing in the throne room of the king. That's why when I pray for somebody, and I don't want you telling me about them, because if the Lord wants to tell me, he's going to tell me. Right? So when you pray, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Is that where we are? And he will abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. One of the things about prayer is this, is a child being represented by Father. I want you to picture when you pray that you have a father you're talking to. So you don't know how to talk. You do not know how to pray. He's your daddy. He knows exactly what you're talking about. And he's just so pleased that you came anyway. You understand? Our prayer is supposed to be like that. You know, I go and complain. I say, Lord, please, can you help me? I mean, you know, I don't know. I have this meeting, Lord, and I don't know what I'm doing. You understand me? And then, you know, I go home and I get out of my prayer room. The Lord gives me a magazine. I'm telling you, right out of my magazine. And then God says, read it. And so when I go to the boardroom meeting, I am so smart. I know everything about what they're talking about because he just gave me a newspaper. Isn't that amazing? You know, and so God says, God told me all the time, just look intelligent. I'll do the rest. So I go to the meeting and I just look intelligent all the time. But this is a prayer that God wants for us as children of the King. You do not have to be eloquent in your prayer. He doesn't have to, you know, be so fluent. God says, just tell me your heart. This is what prayer is. You walk in the Spirit, walk in faith, walk in love, and walk in the light. Because I am your Father. Because the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Prayer, then, is not self-promotion, is not self-preservation, is not self-agenda. It is always to glorify the King all the time. That's why, because it is to glorify the King, Satan, Jesus will never lose a battle that you give to him. Lord, this is my son. He is in trouble. I give him to you. When we do give it to him, God has never lost the battle yet. This what you gave him, he's going to win it because it's now his. You understand what prayer? So when you give your son, your grandson to him, God says, now it's mine. I've never lost a battle yet. You understand me? That's what prayer is. Because it's not self-agenda, Lord, because I'm just a good grandma. Mm-hmm. Lord, because I'm just a good Christian. No self-agenda, no self-preservation. It has to be to give glory to the King all the time. Lord, for your name's sake. For your name's sake, Lord. You see? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what that is? God is saying, Mila, the author of this whole thing is the Spirit. I will build my church, not your ministry. This is important for us to understand when we pray. This is the building of his church that has nothing to do about building your ministry. Because the church of the living God, see? Gates of hell will not prevail against it. So this is something that we are going to learn in prayer. Hallelujah. So, you know how easy it is? We're going to stop at 11 o'clock, right? Okay. You know how easy it is? It's this. Every time we ask for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, you know what it is? You don't have to beg for it. A lot of the answer to our prayer is really one word, obedience. Really. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? Okay, reverential fear me. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So you do not have to beg God to give you wisdom. God says, just follow my commandment. It comes with it. You don't have to pray for 2 hours to give you wisdom or understanding. Just obey. You see, our prayer life will be shorter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One, what? Lord, give me understanding. Okay, read my word. Know about me, and I'll give you understanding. You do not have to fast. You do not have to pray for a long time. It's a promise in my word. You see? To the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That says, clean up your house, get your act together, stop crying to me for 2 hours, stop fasting every Wednesday, just obey me, and your prayer is answered. Follow instruction. Don't go to the right or to the left. I keep telling the Lord this. Lord, every time I read this, it's always going to the right or the left. What does it mean? You know, and the Lord gave me Proverbs 3:16. He says, the length of your days will be in your right hand, and your left hand riches and honor. In fact, in the other Today's Living Bible, it says, I'll give you good, long life, riches, honor, pleasure, and peace. And you know what I said? Wow, that's a lot of benefits. Okay, I'm not going to go to the right or to the left. That is it. That was serious, right? I'm going to stay firm. This is what you say. This is what you didn't say. And I'm going to follow it. God says, you take it to the bank. That's my promise, according to my word. You know what that is? No agonizing, no long prayers, just obedience. You see what has happened? God has given us to the word. When you hear the word, royal posture, incline your ears. That is how I'm going to deliver to you your deliverance. When you open your spirit to my word, I'm going to bring a breakthrough in your life. And you know what? We're going to stop asking people, please pray for me. Hello? So I'm going to close with this. We need to, as royal priesthood, need to know schedule and season. You know, in the book of Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. God says, I am getting tired of this prayer. I'm just getting tired of this prayer. You know what is that kind of prayer? You have wearied me, he said, you ask. You have wearied me by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's eyes, and he is pleased with them. And you have wearied me by asking, where is the God of justice? If you and I find ourselves today in praying, Lord, what is going on? Where are you? Where is justice? you're really wearying me. You know why he's saying? Because my throne is established in justice and righteousness. You insulting me that I don't know how to deliver justice. The foundation of my throne is justice and righteousness. So God says, chill out. I am going to deliver justice. Your job is, you're going to come as a witness before me, and you're going to claim the promises for your father and your children and your neighborhood and your church and your ministry. Never mind justice. That's my job. Hello? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of the living God. So, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but it is long-suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You know what God is saying to us? I'm going to throw this challenge back to you. Don't worry about the 1,000 years. Don't worry about the one day. Just worry this. I will come as a thief in the night. Are you ready for it? Let me do my job. I am the God of justice and a God of righteousness. Your job is, see? You hear my voice. Come before me as a witness. After 4 generations, this is so important. A lot of people are going, well, when are you going to come? I mean, hello? There is, in the book of Genesis 15, 16, this is how the Lord works. After 4 generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant this destruction. There is what we call the maturity of sin. You know why there is a maturity of sin? It's because the same patience, the same grace that God has given you, God is giving them. There's going to be a maturity of their sins, that the 4th generation of your descendants shall return to the land of Canaan, the land of promise. For the wickedness and the guilt of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now, what is the sin of the Amorites? You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's here. Do you know what that is? It's tampering with God's plan. The Ammonites or the Moabites shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with bread, food, and water on the road as you came out of Egypt. And because they hired to act against you Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God has loved you. I'm going to pause here. One of the greatest sins that we will have is tampering with God's schedule. When God has a plan and we become the opposition, God doesn't like it. Can you imagine? To the 10th generation? He is so upset. So a father hurt that the plan that he has for his children is being tilted and put on hold because of the agenda of man. God was ready to put the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and all he wanted was help them out. They need some food, they need some water, and the Moabites did not give it to them. Every time you and I are not sensitive to the sound of the voice of the Lord, and we become an opposition, we become, see, an enemy to him. That's why it is so important that we're not going to, when are you going to do it? The schedule of heaven is in his hand, it's not in yours. So our prayer then is to deliver and declare the word, that's all. And I am telling you, when we do that, I'm going to stop here because we're going to finish this tonight. Those of you who would like to listen to the rest of this, this is really exciting. I said, Lord, there's a lot of things already I'm going to share. He said, that's okay. You just finish it in the next session. So, guys, this is important. This is what royal priesthood is. We know the signs of the times. This time of the season in our life is God says, stop going to the lower courts of the world. Take your cases to the higher courts. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for hearing ears and teachable heart. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us to the next level of seeing a breakthrough in our lives. Thank you, Father, for inviting us to join the privileged Lord with royalty to bring cases before the throne. In Jesus' name, amen.